بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد الحمد لله Tonight is the 22nd of April in the year 2024 and Alhamdulillah we moved on to the 80th night that we're going through the illustrious and blessed life of the noble companion Sayyidina Amr ibn al-As radiyallahu. And I'm on the subsection in which I'm mentioning the build-up to Siffin, and this was all decreed, mentioned in the sacred reports. There is also the following incredible report specifically with regards to the distinct encounter at Siffin. So this narration is recorded by Hafiz Ibn Abdul Barr rahmatullah alayh in his Al-Istiyab, volume 1, page 359. Hafiz Ibn Al-Jawzi in his Sirat, page 83-4. Abu Al-Bakhtari rahmatullah alayh, he relates. Sayyidina Umar radiyallahu, he once appointed a person who was called Sayyidina Habis ibn Sa'ad Tayh radiyallahu as a judge of hymns. And he asked him, O Habis radiyallahu, how would you decide the cases? So he replied, the Quran, the Sunnah, then I will exert. Umar radiyallahu said, you have answered correctly, you have answered excellently. Just stop in the report. So Umar is the Khalif radiyallahu. He is appointed a judge for the city of Hims. Hims is in Syria. And who was he appointed? A companion called Habis ibn Sa'ad Tayh. So who is this? This was the son-in-law of the famous companion Adi ibn Hatim. So Adi ibn Hatim was a Christian who had embraced Islam towards the end of the Prophet's life, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he lived unto a very grand age, very famous companion, radiyallahu anhu. His son-in-law, also a sahaba, Habis ibn Sa'ad, he's become the judge of hymns. However, the said person did not go to his assignment. When Umar called him, he asked, why did you not go to your post as the Qadi? So Habis radiyallahu anhu said, O Amir al-Mu'mineen radiyallahu anhu, I have seen a dream. It has made me fearful. In other words, I can't interpret it, but I feel that this is a bad sign. So Umar radiyallahu anhu said, what dream did you see? So Habis radiyallahu anhu said, I saw in my dream the sun and the moon fighting with each other, clashing. I saw the sun coming from the east with a huge cloud. And I saw the moon coming from the west also with a huge cloud. And thereafter they collided with each other and they began to fight. Umar radiallahu anhu, upon reflection, he asked, O Habis radiallahu anhu, which side were you on? So Habis radiallahu anhu said, I was on the side of the moon, O Amir al-Mu'mineen. Upon this, Umar radiallahu anhu recited the following verse of the Quran in Surah Al-Isra, Surah 17, verse 12. A'udhu billahi minash shaitan rajeem. وَجَعَلْنَا اللَّيْلَ وَالنَّهَارَ آيَتَيْنِ فَمَهَوْنَا آيَةُ اللَّيْلِ وَجَعَلْنَا آيَةَ النَّهَارِ مُبْصِرًا. And we have made the night and the day as two signs. And we have dimmed the sign of the night and brightened the sign of the day. After reciting this verse, Umar radiyallahu anhu said, O Habis radiyallahu, you were on the side of the moon, which was in the west of the sun. Thus now give us back our command, which we appointed you with. Ata added, Hasan narrated, rahmatullah alayh, I later learnt, Sayyidina Habis was with Amir Muawiyah, radiyallahu anhu, in the battle of Siffin, and he was martyred during that battle. So let's look at this. So Habis, because he was a companion, he knew something was not quite right in the dream. So look how interesting. He was appointed to be a judge. Allah Ta'ala gave him that dream. So he realized that this was a sign from Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. So he didn't go. So Umar called him. He told him the dream. Because which side were you on? Because I was on the moon side. Now look how amazing. Umar radiallahu anhu understood the dream. But how did he interpret it? From the Quran. What does Allah Ta'ala say in this verse? We have made the night and the day as two signs. So both the sun and the moon are signs. But we have dimmed the sign of the night. We have brightened the sun. Then he said, because you were on the side of the moon, give back our command. Meaning, your judgment wasn't good. Your judgment should have been, you should have gone to the sun. But the fact that you've joined the moon shows that for me to appoint you as a judge, and you've made a slight error here, you are not going to be a judge. So imagine Habis hearing this, thinking, okay, you know, alhamdulillah. But then later, what happened? Whose side did Habis join? Muawiyah, radiallahu anhu. And in that battle of Siffin, he was martyred. Note how subhanallah, Sayyidina Muawiyah radiallahu anhu was described as the moon in the above dream, which in the Holy Quran, quoted by Umar, is referred to as by the Almighty as a sign, indicating that he was upon truth, but to a lesser extent than the glorious son of Islam, Sayyidina Ali. Subhanallah. Also note, the moon does not have its own light, but reflects the light of the sun through which other people are guided. Subhanallah. Another beautiful description between the senior and junior companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So Ali was the sun. Muawiyah was reflecting the sun because he was the moon. They both gave guidance, but which one was a greater source? Ali. Note also Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu's endorsement of his father-in-law Sayyidina Ali stands and displeasure of those who sided against him. Allahu Akbar, endless lessons. Now look how strange this is if you really think about it. Somebody asked you this question. In whose khalifa did the battle of Siffin take place? So you say Ali. Then you ask, okay, is it possible for somebody to have known about this battle 20 years before it happened? What do you think? Unless he's a prophet, but obviously the prophet passed away 35 years before this. So Umar radiallahu anhu, look how strange. He knew about this battle. And who did he endorse? He endorsed Ali. That's why he got upset with the Habis. He goes, your judgment failed you. Give back the appointment. And note, Ali was the father-in-law of Umar. Ali had given his daughter Ali to Umar. So he was endorsing his father-in-law. So again, there's so many lessons from this report. But notice, this was a decreed matter. That's why I mentioned it. The Battle of Siffin didn't just happen. It was all in the knowledge and the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In another report, our beloved mother Sayyida Habiba radiallahu anha, she related that her illustrious, unparalleled husband sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I was shown in a dream what tribulations my followers will face after me, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and they will shed the blood of one another. This upset and disturbed me, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وَقَانَ ذَٰلِكَ سَابِقًا مِنَ اللَّهِ. But this is decreed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. كَمَا سَبَقَ فِي الْأُمَمِ قَبْلَهَا. Just as it was decreed for the previous nations. I thereupon asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant me intercession for them on the day of standing. And he subhanahu wa ta'ala graciously did. Subhanallah. So let's look at this. So this is recorded in Imam Ahmad's Musnad Tabarani, and Shaykh Albani rahmatullah alayh stated Sahih in Sahih al-Jami number 918 and As-Sahiha number 1440. So who's had the dream? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So the Prophet's dreams are revelation. And he saw a dream that upset him. He himself said, it disturbed me. Because he said, I saw that my ummah will shed the blood of one another. But then what did he say? Look at the wording. Very important to highlight, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وَقَانَ ذَٰلِكَ سَابِقًا مِنَ اللَّهِ. This is decreed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then he said, كَمَا سَبَقَ فِي الْأُمَمِ قَبْلَهَا. Just as it was decreed for the previous name, meaning nothing can stop it. Nothing on earth is going to stop this. But then what did he say? Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I beg my Lord, allow me to intercede for them on the day of judgment. Allah ta'ala said, yes. So now why is this important? Because even though they shed the blood of each other, did that take away their iman? No. Where's the proof? Rasulullah intercedes. If Allah ta'ala allowed him to intercede, it means they are still believers. Right? So this is why some people say, oh, this was a clear sign that a person has now left the fold, is shed the blood of the Muslim brothers. So it's just emotional. He hasn't quoted anything. Here's a sacred text from the Prophet, Sahih Hadith from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We also get upset following the Sunnah. We don't like discussing Sifi because the Prophet was upset. But we say it was decreed. And if a person goes, oh, that's just a cliche. If it's just a cliche, why did the Prophet say it? وَكَانَ ذَٰلِكَ سَابِقًا مِّنَ اللَّهِ. This is decreed. Meaning, if it's decreed, there's wisdom in it. And then he said, just like for the previous ummah, and I will intercede for them. Subhanallah. On the same theme. In Imam Ahmad's Musnad, Hayat al-Sahaba, volume 4, page 454 of the New English Translation, Ibn Buraydah, radiyallahu anhu, he relates, my father, Sayyidina Buraydah, radiyallahu anhu, he once went to Sayyidina Muawiyah, radiyallahu anhu, where a man was busy talking in praise of the Amir al-Mu'mineen. So picture the scene. Hazrat Muawiyah is the Khalif, radiyallahu anhu. Buraydah has come to see him, another Sahaba. But when Buraydah comes, he sees that this man is praising Muawiyah, radiyallahu anhu. So Buraydah radiyallahu anhu thereupon asked, will you allow me to speak, O Muawiyah, radiyallahu anhu, thinking that my father would also speak just as the previous person was doing. Sayyidina Muawiyah radiyallahu anhu granted him permission. Sayyidina Buraydah thereupon said, radiyallahu anhu, I have heard Rasulullah say, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, on the day of resurrection, I expect to intercede on behalf as many people as there are trees and stones on earth. You, O Muawiyah, radiyallahu anhu, should therefore pin your hopes on this intercession, for you will need it. Whilst Ali, radiyallahu anhu, does not need to pin his hopes on it. For he will enter paradise without it. So let's look at this. So this shows that after the encounter, people were grieving. Hazrat Ali had been martyred. Her son has abdicated. Muawiyah becomes the Khalif. So obviously people are split. So this companion called Buraydah, he wanted to tell Muawiyah something. So when he came, Muawiyah was thinking, oh, he's going to say some good words. And he didn't speak ill about Muawiyah. He just got the point across. He was saying, Rasulullah will intercede for as many as there are trees and stones on earth. Imagine how many is that? How many trees and stones on earth? Then he goes, you, O Muawiyah, you therefore pin your hopes on this. So now we haven't mentioned this hadith. Go back to the previous report. In the Sahih Hadith, what did the Prophet ﷺ say? I asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant me intercession for them. And he allowed it. But then he says, but Ali, he doesn't need to pin his hopes on that. Meaning he was completely correct. So note again, these are all reports indicating the reality of Sifin. The following is also a critical report with regards to this encounter. Because some people, what they say is, Hazrat Muawiyah went against a divine command. you questioned them. What do you mean? He goes, Ali was the Amir al-Mu'mineen. To oppose him is to go against the Quran and the Sunnah. So then you respond by saying, again, you're getting emotional. How do we know that Amir al-Mu'mineen did not have a mandate from Rasulullah? Is there any proof? If there's proof that the Prophet told him that Muawiyah is going to go against you, fight against him, then Muawiyah is wrong. But where is the proof that he didn't have any proof for this? There's a hadith. In Abu Dawud in his Sunan, number 4666, Sahih, in the chapter on the Sunnah. Ahmed in his Musnad, number 1271, Sahih. Qais ibn Ubad, rahmatullah alayhi, relates. I once asked Sayyidina Ali, radiyallahu, أَخْبِرْنَا أَنْ مَسِيرَكِ أَنْ مَسِيرِقَ هَذَا أَحْدًا أَحِدَهُ إِلَيْكَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ أَمْ رَأَيًا رَأَيْتَ. Tell us about this march of yours against Muawiyah. Did Rasulullah order it upon you, or is it your own opinion? Ali radiyallahu anhu asked, Ma turidu illa hadha? Why are you asking this question? I responded, Deenana, deenana. For the sake of my religion, for the sake of my religion. Ali responded, radiyallahu anhu, Ma ahida ilayya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam bishay lakannahu ra'yan ra'aytu. Rasulullah did not enjoin upon me anything in this regard. Rather, it is my own opinion. Subhanallah. So let's look at this. Sahih hadith, Abu Dawud Ahmad. And look how interesting. Where has Abu Dawud recorded this hadith? In the chapter on the Sunnah. Meaning, stick to the Sunnah. So one of the men in Ali's force, he asked, what a beautiful question. This march, we're going towards Muawiyah. Did Rasulullah enjoin it upon you? Or is it your opinion? Now, what was he really asking? What he was really asking was, if Rasulullah told you, then Hazrat Muawiyah is clearly in the wrong. He's going against Rasulullah. Or is it something that you kind of like worked out? So look at Ali's response. Why are you asking this question? So some people just ask questions for the sake of it. Look at his response. Deenana, deenana. In other words, safety. In other words, I want to know Amir al-Mu'mineen. If this is a serious, if I'm going to shed the blood of Muslims, he goes, I need to know. And what did Hazrat Ali say? Look at the purity. He didn't lie. He didn't say anything, twist anything. He goes, Rasulullah did not enjoin anything upon me in this regard. It is my own opinion. Now, why is this so important? Because, subhanallah, how could Rasulullah have said otherwise? Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. For that would have meant Muawiyah would clearly have been in the wrong. Which, as I've shown, is not correct. So some people get emotional. They go, Ali, the gay, there's so many things, virtues. The gay of knowledge, you know, the greatest judge. And, mashallah, brother. And he goes, so how can you go against him? Was he given a command from Rasulullah? That's why you're asking that. Because if it is, then Muawiyah is wrong. Otherwise, Hazrat Ali has done ijtihad. There's nothing clear, and Muawiyah did ijtihad. And he goes, yeah, that's true. But there you go. You know, again, it's nothing to do with rank and status. And a person asked that question point blank to Amir al-Mu'mineen. He told him straight. He goes, this is my ijtihad. Consider also the following report in which Ali himself asked. Now look how beautiful this report is. Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when you send me on a mission, should I go and do what you tell me to do without delay? Or witness and find out what someone who is not there can find out, cannot find out? He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Ash-shahidu yara ma la yaral ghaib. Witness and find out what someone who is not there cannot find out. Let's look at this. So So this is recorded in Imam Ahmad in his Musnad, number 628, is graded Hasan li ghayri, meaning authentic to other jinns. So look at the question. What's the question he asked, radiyallahu? He goes, if you send me on a mission, that means the Prophet himself, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, should I go without delay? Or should I make investigations? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, witness find out what someone who is not there cannot find out. What does that mean? Thus, even with a divine mandate, this majestic man was told to take his precautions. Thus, what then of the affair without a divine mandate? As in the cases of the battle of the Kamal and Siffin. Have you understood? So Rasulullah told him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, even if I tell you to do something, there is no weakness on your part if you make further investigations before you do what I tell you to do. There's no weakness on that part. I give you permission. If I do that, rest of your, you know, reassure your heart, whatever. That is when he was given the green light from the Prophet. So the question then, your fruitcake, if Rasulullah hasn't given him a mandate, he's going to be 10 times more careful before taking the step. So when he decided to initiate hostilities against Muawiyah, how many safety checks do you think he must have took before taking that drastic step? Like I mentioned yesterday, Hazrat Ali started the hostilities. It wasn't Hazrat Muawiyah, radiallahu anhu. But again, we don't say anything, you know, ill about any of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So all of this is so important to go through before you talk about Siffin. If you didn't have all these things in place, and then you just went straight to the battle. Let's go straight to the battle. What happened? All of these questions will start coming up. Why did Muawiyah go against Ali? Didn't the Prophet give Ali a command? Or maybe Muawiyah is right and Ali went against the command. Or maybe, then you go, brother, you know, didn't you do the homework before you went to the battle? And that is something we need to reflect on. Why? Because they were the ones who actually went into battle. We aren't going into battle. We're just looking at it from a historical perspective. And we have to be careful. So what do you think these two mighty men did? Right? You know, we're just talking about it just on, you know, paper. Imagine, somebody, if I said to you, you're going to shed blood of Muslims, but don't worry, Allah's with us. What sort of questions you're going to start asking? Hang on a minute. I'm going to shed Muslims. Oh, you're going to, okay, explain, please put, reassure me what's going on. Am I 100% certain this is not wrong? And that's why the people are asking Amir al-Mu'mineen. So all I mentioned again today was reports where the decree that Allah Ta'ala was going to cause this battle to take place. Another example of the decree I should have mentioned yesterday. Which very, very famous battle would not have taken place without Allah Ta'ala wanting it to happen? Badr. Allah Ta'ala explicitly says in the Quran, even if you had agreed, you would not have fought each other. Imagine, Allah Ta'ala is telling you the hypothetical. I know if I left it to you would not have fought. Either they would have backed off or you would have backed off. In other words, we can't fight our family. Father, brother, sons on the opposite side. You would have backed off. Allah Ta'ala goes, but I decreed it. Could anything on earth have stopped that battle? No. When Allah Ta'ala decrees a matter, it happens. What did Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say to Abdullah ibn Abbas when he was a child, sitting on the back of his beast of burden? He goes, if Allah Ta'ala decrees something, even if the whole world tries to oppose it, it will still take place. And if Allah Ta'ala does not decree something, and if even if the whole world tried to make it happen, it won't happen. He was talking to Ibn Abbas, imagine a youngster, 7-8 years old, telling him that, because get this into your heart, this is in Tirmidhi, Hasan Sahih. And here's another example, the Battle of Siffin. It had to take place. It was the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we'll discuss why. Because there was great wisdom why this had to take place. So we could take benefits, i.e. from this incident. Are there any questions you'd like to ask? سبحان ربي الحمد لله اللهم بحمدك اشهد ان لا اله الا انت استغفرك واتوب اليك وارجو الله من الشيطان الرجيم سبحان ربك رب العزه عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والاصل ان الانسان لفي خسر الذين امنوا وعملوا الصالحات وتواصوا بالحق وتواصوا بالصبر صدق الله العظيم